In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul. Not that one. The repose of the soul of Elena Montoya, Gabriel Rivera, Anna Marie Ferrari, my cousin. Today is a First Friday. Today is First Friday, the Sacred Heart of our Blessed Lord Jesus. That's why so many of you are here today. Thanks be to God. Did you also know that we don't just celebrate First Fridays? We celebrate First Saturdays as well. We have First Saturday Mass. And that's a great opportunity for you to go and fulfill not just the 9 First Fridays, but also the 7 First Saturdays. You see, when you go to the Mama, it's a little bit easier. It's a little bit shorter. It's a little bit lighter because she walks along with you, leading you to Christ. And that's why it's only 7 First Saturdays and 9 First Fridays. Consider that. We have that First Saturday Mass again this upcoming Saturday, tomorrow. There's nothing that's conflicting with it. Also, it's good to see so many of you back again. So since First Fridays are such an important day, you know what's an even more important day than a First Friday?
Sunday.
That's right. So that means if you can come on a First Friday, that means you can come on a Sunday too. There's no greater danger of this virus that seems to have, thanks be to God, spared most of our county on the weekends. You can come just as well as you can on First Fridays as well. So look forward to you. Missed you for your feast day, St. Gianna. Wrote an article. We'll talk about that later. So today in the feast day, what do we have? Today we have this great feast of a powerful martyr. A powerful martyr who went out into difficult areas that were covered by barbarians. That means those who were pagans, those who didn't trust in God, those who were just moving into an area and didn't know the Roman order. That's why they were called barbarians. And so St. Boniface went all the way up from his more civilized area, in their seeing of it, down there in Italy, down where he was in the northern part of the Roman Empire that was still there, all the way up to Freising, or to a place in the Netherlands. And there he found many people who hated God, who hated the teachings of Christ, who held to a spiritism religion where they thought that all creatures held the divine spirit and so were to be worshipped, rather than the God who created all those things is to be worshipped. And so famously, what he did was, seeing they venerated a particularly large sacred oak tree that was there growing in the place, he went up to it and you said, you think that this is a god? You think that this is so important? And what he did was, he, with a single felling of his own axe, went and struck the tree. They believed that anybody who came near that tree who was unworthy, anyone who was near that tree who had a bit of blasphemy in their hearts, would be struck down. And when he struck that tree, nothing happened. Nothing happened. And thus, he felled that tree eventually. And so fell that religion, that pagan religion, to that of Christ, who is the true Christ, who sacrificed himself on the true wood of the cross, that cross which bore for us the weight of our salvation, on which that sacred heart was pierced by the lance. Today, also within the readings, what do we find? We find this. We find St. Paul talking to a young bishop, a young man who is going to get ready to take over an entire church and somehow have to rule everything in with the crazy things that happen. He says what? He says, you have followed my teaching, my way of life. You know my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecutions, yes, my sufferings. Yet God delivered me from all of these. In fact, all who want to live religiously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So what is he saying? He's saying, look, you've seen me. You've seen how rough my life is. Guess what? It's in store for you too. But remember, it didn't destroy me. It didn't destroy me. Think about it in another place. In one of his other letters, in 1 Corinthians, St. Paul says what? He says, we are We are hit but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. He reminds us that yes, we are attacked and assailed on every side, and yet it doesn't make the end of us, because we conquer all things in our blessed Lord Christ Jesus. And so it is for you and me in this time. I don't know, some of us have been faced with some very serious setbacks during this time. Think of the seniors today who are only allowed one car to go out and see them graduate, who can only have the most immediate of immediate family member there on the field with them. Think of how that feels, where everybody else, for how long, has has had entire crowds there of their family cheering them on, the ones on who they relied. How difficult must that be for them? Think of those who, some in our midst, who have not had those members for their family members there at the most sacred time of a funeral. Not being able to have the great church filled in this way, not being able to have the sacraments at that time. All these persecutions, these setbacks, these hardships, we feel all these things. What are the setbacks that you are going through in your life now because of what's going on here within our nation and within our world? Even the setbacks that are going on in our own city. St. Paul speaks courage to you and to me in the midst of this. He says, look, you've seen this. Anybody who tries to live a religious life, anybody who wants to hold on to God, anybody who wants to see light in the darkness, anybody who wants to experience real and lasting peace that only Christ can give, anybody who wants to stand up for truth, they're going to be persecuted. Anybody who wants to root out corruption is going to be attacked, and it's going to seem like they're to be destroyed. But from all these things, St. Paul says, the Lord delivered me. It means they tried their worst. But what happens? What happens when Christ is struck? What happens when his side is pierced? What happens when his back was beat with a 39 lashes? What happens to him? Does it destroy Christ? 3 days later, he rises. And that's why it's so great to be Catholic. You see, brothers and sisters, the more and more you and I know the scriptures and begin to apply them to our lives, the more and more we're able to receive encouragement in the midst of the darkness that does plague us every single day. The Sacred Heart reminds us of that. Suffering doesn't end in more suffering. Suffering with Christ ends in victory. Victory with his Sacred Heart. That's why it says right here, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, not John 3:16, but 1 Timothy 3:16 says what? All scripture is God-breathed. It's his inspiration. It's God breathing his strength, his power into you and me when we take it into ourselves. He said all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and then for training on the way of righteousness. Why do we receive that, Gianna? There's a reason. So the man of God, the woman of God, so the person of God may be fully equipped for every good work which God has prepared in advance. That includes you. God has prepared good works for you and me. But we're not going to be ready for them if we don't know the scriptures, if we don't take them into our lives, if we don't commit them to ourselves in such a way that they become co-natural to us, that they flow out of us so generously. That's why it's important to come to Mass and to listen. It's important to take up your own personal book of the scriptures, even if it means you're just reading it so that you can fall asleep at night. Because God will take what? Our very weakest efforts, our most careless moments that we've at least made an attempt to do something toward him. And God knows how to take our worst efforts and do something amazing and great. Because why? In all, this whole world and this life, it's not about you and me. It's not what God can do in us if we just give him a little room. So too, each of you are destined for struggles and hardships and difficulties. Class of 2020, they're not special in that way. All of us will have them. But when we immerse ourselves in Scripture, when we listen to Christ, when we allow ourselves to hide in the most difficult moments in his wounds, especially through that wound of his pierced side, when I'm before the cross, I like to imagine myself climbing into that sacred wound and just closing it over so that I can take comfort in his heart. When we do that, we're able to overcome all things greatly with him. There are wicked people, as it says here, who are charlatans, who are pretending. And they're the ones who are going to go from bad to worse. The deceivers will themselves be deceived on the last day. But when you and I remain faithful to what we learned and believed, because we know from whom we learned it, that from infancy you have known those sacred scriptures, then, as St. Paul says, we can overcome all things because the Lord delivers us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.